Good morning, everyone. You know, when you look around, people think, such a small number. You know, but word tells us, wherever we join with the Lord, the heavenly host joins with us. His Holy Spirit is with us all the time. And that's what keeps us in step. So let's just remember that. I'm going to start with a reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. A lovely piece of scripture. And you know, just as the shepherds were terrified that night, I think we became terrified before we knew the Lord. But the Lord, once you've accepted him, the terror disappears because he grants us peace. So let's just come to him in prayer before we start on today's message. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have got a celebration that we can enjoy Christmas, Lord. Whenever your Son came to earth as a man, as a baby, to grow into a man, to go through all the trials and troubles that we face, yet he was blameless and without sin, so that he could go and pay the price for our sins and redeem us and enable us to draw close to you. So Lord, we thank you for your glorious, wonderful Christmas gift. So Lord, just be with me now as I bring your word. Lord, I pray that you'll take me out of it, because we only need to hear from you. Your word is the word that sustains life. So just bless us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, title of today's message, what a glorious Christmas gift. You know, this morning, as little Olivia lit the third candle, known as the candle of joy, and also as the shepherd's candle, because the shepherds really were joyful when they got the good news about the Savior's birth, and especially when they went and found him in that manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. But have you considered what this world misses because they forget about that wondrous gift that God give us at Christmas. To many, it's nothing more than a time to eat and drink to their heart's content. As the saying goes, eat, drink, and be merry. And I think we've all been there from time to time, but there's always a price to pay, isn't there, when you eat too much or drink too much. For many, Jesus does not even get a mention. If you look at the advertisements on the television, you see all sorts of stuff, from sales of turkey and drink and sweets and toys and perfumes. But there's very little mention of the Holy Spirit. Plenty of spirits, from whiskeys, gins and what have you, but very, very little of our Lord and Saviour. And I find that very sad, because when they don't recognise God's glorious, precious gift, they're missing out on the real meaning and the real joy of Christmas that was delivered to the shepherds, as we heard in our reading from Luke 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests. You know, God's favour only rests on those who accept his Son. And that's something that a lot of people actually miss out on. To claim the promises of God, you've got to be in his family. It's just in your own family. To be an inheritance in a will, you've got to be a member of the family. Nothing strange about it. Instead, though, people run around searching for things to buy each other. Wonderful presents, trying to outdo each other. Sometimes getting into debt, buying presents that they really can't afford, but to buy them anyway. Why? Is it to keep up with the Joneses? I don't know. I suppose it could be. But it's as if common sense goes out of the window, comes Christmas. And in comes the debt and the stress and the worry of how they're going to meet all the expenses that's been incurred. The other thing I find really sad is that even the most expensive gifts they buy one another, you know, they don't really deliver the promise of the promotion that they received on the telly or in magazines. I'm sure that many of us can relate to the scene where the young child receives a present, opens it up, sets the present aside, and proceeds to play with the box to its heart's content. Now, I would say for the child, that's happy days, and it's not to be worried about, but it is worrying when people put across God's glorious, wonderful, free gift to one side and start to play with all the trimmings and the wrappings that this world offers. You know, this just illustrates what we might see as important. The world doesn't share. And that is a fact. The world seems to get caught up in the commercial aspects of Christmas and miss out on the real reason for the season. I don't know about you, but I also find it sad. I find lots of things sad, especially at this time of year. I don't know why, but they say sad is sun. Is it absence devious or something like that? Sad, it gets you down, whatever it is. But, you know, they leave Christ out of the picture at Christmas and don't even think there's anything wrong with that when you point it out to them. Is it any wonder then that they find Christmas such a stressful time of rushing around, not only to get presents for everybody, but to cook Christmas dinner, and everything's just got to be right. And I'm sorry, but I love a few ladies, But when it comes to the kitchen, you know, I get told to get out because I get in the way. And I'm quite happy to stay out of the way, you know. I'll do the dishes when I can go in there and rest. But, you know, they don't consider what it's costing them in energy, time and money. Where it's running around buying stuff, which is exciting at the time, but it lasts. Even the good stuff might last 10, 15 years, but sooner or later it ends up either going in the sale or going in the bin. You know, when you say, have you ever found joy that could compare with the birth of Christ over 2,000 years ago? I don't think so. But that's me speaking as a Christian to the world. They'd probably laugh at me in the face. There's some who may make the effort to go to church, attending maybe a carol service like the one that we'll be holding here next Sunday. And they'll enjoy the atmosphere and the singing. Well, it's all part of Christmas. It's all part of the tradition, isn't it? Then after Christmas, all the thoughts of Jesus is put back up into the loft along with the rest of the decorations for another year. I trust that's not what Christmas means to you and I this morning. Christmas is a time to remember and to celebrate that glorious Christmas gift from our Father God. And he offered it not just to you and to me, but to the whole world. The birth of Jesus Christ made it possible for everyone, through accepting him, to come into favour with God. As John 3:16 puts it, the gospel in a nutshell, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know, if you accept God's gift, you will notice that it's not just for Christmas. It's not even just for this lifetime. It's for eternity. We all know about the gifts the wise men brought and laid before Jesus. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. We sung about it this morning. Thoughtful as these gifts were, you know, were not a patch on the gift that was offered to the world by our Heavenly Father, the birth of his Son. As John 3:16 told us, it's important, though, that we recognize that a gift only becomes yours once you take ownership of it, once you accept it, once you take the wrappings off, unpack it, and accept it. Then it's yours. You know, if you're really listening to this message here and you haven't, or online, and you haven't yet accepted Jesus, and there's only the two options, you either reject him or accept him as your Savior. And remember, Jesus came into the world as a baby. That was the way our redemption started, with him coming into the world. He was born into the world to become like us. He was one of us. He went through all the trials and tribulations and the temptations that each one of us face every day. But unlike us, as Scripture tells us, he remained spotless, without blemish, the pure Lamb of God. Why was that important? Well, when you read your Scripture, you'll know that unless the Lamb was in good health, without blemish, not a spot, it couldn't be offered as a sacrifice. It wouldn't be acceptable. And that was the same with Jesus. It was important that he was a presentable sacrifice for our sins. He needed to be spotless, the pure Lamb of God. It was only by obedience to his Father's will, by his going to the cross and dying there, that the price for our sins could be paid for in full. Our sins, yours and mine, and the rest of the world who will accept him as their Savior, he will pay the price. You know, I don't know. Our Savior, our free will gift from a loving, mighty God. What a glorious Christmas gift. Have you got it? Christmas was meant not to be commercial. It was not meant to be stressful. But you know, we are only humans and we make stupid decisions. But we need to look at Scripture. And in Romans 6:23 we read, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, that's the true reason for the season. That Christmas gift that God gave to mankind to make it possible for us to escape eternal death. To give us joy, not to stress us out. And that was all because he loves each and every one. He has got no favourites. He doesn't love me because I'm standing here speaking to you any more than he loves you sitting there listening. In fact, I think he takes pity on you, having to sit there and listen to me at times. You know, but when we look back at Luke 2, verses 10 to 12, which reads, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger.'" Wow. Now I'm sure you all recognize that passage as the basis of every nativity play you've ever been to or seen. But how many people have gone and watched the nativity and failed to take on board the fact that the first people to witness the birth was the shepherds. But they didn't just see it and go and visit him and see him. They went out and told others about it. They were his witnesses. You know, they were the people to witness and spread the news of the Savior's birth. The poorest and the lowest of society. We heard that last week in Rob's message as well. But you know, they couldn't even be a witness in the court. They wouldn't be accepted because they got no abode. They spent their times out in the field with the sheep. Why? You know, why were the shepherds the ones to be the first to be told that message? You know, it's my belief that God was making a statement. His glorious Christmas gift was so precious that none of us would have the wealth, if it took wealth, if you could buy it. But none of us could afford to buy it. It was a free offering, and it could only be obtained on God's terms. And it was free at the point of acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. It's important to recognize and to take ownership of that glorious gift that we need help, and we need to experience the real joy of Christmas. The Bible explains how in Matthew 11:28-30. This is Jesus talking. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Wow. The glorious gift of Christmas and the joy it offers, I believe, comes from that assurance from Jesus. And I pray that you've accepted the greatest gift given to man, given in love, as we read in John 3:16-17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And he sent him at Christmas." What a gift. You know, I would love to be able to give anyone listening to this message who doesn't know the Lord that gift this Christmas. You know, but the best thing is, they don't need to wait for me to give them it, because the Lord is there ready to give them it if they will just acknowledge him, what he'd done for them, and admit that they are a sinner and they need to be saved by his grace and his glory. You know, the gift of God, he wants us all to accept his glorious Christmas gift. He wants us all to experience the real joy of Christmas, his only begotten Son. And we need to remember that this gift is not just for Christmas, not even for a lifetime, but for eternity. It will never rust. The batteries will never run down. They will never need replacing. We'll need an infilling from time to time with the Holy Spirit, but we don't have batteries unless you've got a pacemaker in there. I haven't got one. That's what I was asked yesterday when I went for my MRI scan. Any implants? No. But, you know, it's the best present anyone could ever give you. No one can steal it from you. No one else can possess what the Lord gives to each individual. Because when you accept him, you have a personal relationship with him. You're not in a club. Yeah? You're not a number. You're a personal brother or sister of the living God. As Jesus says to his disciples, as confirmation that you're going to be safe once you've accepted him, in John 10:29, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." Before that, Jesus told them that no one could snatch them out of his hand. But he reinforced that with that verse, "My Father, who has given them to me." And I think that is a wonderful, glorious Christmas gift. And I thank God that he chose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. And with that, we'll just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved this whole world, that you sent your one and only Son to pay the price of their sin on the point that they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, words fail me at times, but your word never fails me. You love each one of us so much. And Lord, we just thank you that you did send your Son at Christmas. And Jesus, we thank you that you were willing to come and go through the pain and suffering that you did, both as a baby, a young boy, a man, and then to death on that cross for each one of us here. And Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you, and let us not ever forget that you are the only reason for the season, the only glorious gift that anyone could ever wish for this Christmas and any other Christmas, until you come and take us to be with you as your own special possession. And Lord, we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. In your name we pray. Amen.